Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Now, if he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. The Word of God tells us in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if you start this day in the lost column, by the grace of God, you can end it in the save column. But you got to come to know Christ as your Savior. Hey, I'm not here to peddle religion. I'm here to tell you about a relationship that you can have with a man by the name of Jesus Christ, who entered into this world through a virgin's womb, lived among us sinlessly, and died substitutionally for us. He was buried, he resurrected, he ascended to the Father. And the Bible tells us, whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that'd be a good message all its own, would it not? It certainly would. Always happy to tell you, friend, that you can be saved if you realize you're lost and undone. But I've opened my Bible to the book of Job. I'm going to deal with one of the oldest questions that there is in the heart and the mind of mankind. And the Word of God is going to give us the answer. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you everything that could be said about this subject. I am not going to take a great deal of time to elucidate or expound upon any of the things that I'm going to say, but I do trust that enough will be said that you'll come away with a little clearer understanding with what the Word of God says about us and this old thing called death and what lies beyond it. But before I do, I'm going to ask Debbie to sing a song. The title of it is Job, and I'm sure that it'll be a blessing to you. I've turned my Bible to the book of Job, chapter 14, by the way. And if you'd like to turn there, maybe be able to meet with me, get this scratch piece of paper and pencil and write your reference. Enjoy.
There was a man whose name was Job, who lived in a land of us. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. Then Satan came walking to and fro. The Lord said, consider my servant Job. Satan said, take all he has, and he will curse you to your face. Then Job lost all he had, and all that he could say. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Be the name of the Lord. There was a man whose name was Job, who lived in the land of Uz. He was. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. Thank you. man who feared the Lord. He was. Job was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. Oh, yes, he was. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, I like that, don't you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God. Listen, thank God for the Word of God. How wonderful and rich it is and how real that is. You know, in the Word of God, we find man being honest with God and God being honest with man. God records the struggles of man, the questions of man, the fears of man, the doubt of man, the feelings of futility, the feelings and the knowledge of frailty. And that's what we find here in the book of Job. Now look, just for time's sake, I can't read as much as I want to, but I'd encourage you to read the entire 14th chapter of the book of Job. I'd encourage you to read the entire book of Job. Actually, it's a great book. But we step into a communication that Job was having between what the Word of God calls and refers him as three miserable comforters. And Job is trying to answer as he sees life himself. Now listen, he's suffering. He's lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, lost all of his cattle, sheep, oxen, mules, and servants. And the only one left in life for Job is his wife and about 4 servants that came and gave him bad news. One degree of bad news right after the other. So Job at this time is tired. His body is covered with sores. He scraped himself with a potsherd. He's sitting in sackcloth and ashes in a dust pile, in an ash pile, and he's struggling with life. Oh, he's in pain. He's weary. He's worried. And listen to what he says. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 7 of chapter 14 of the book of Job. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof was old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. And listen to what Job goes on to say. He said, but on the other hand, he said, look, on the other hand, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Oh, what a question. Oh, what a question. Where is he? Where is he? I'm going to talk to you a little while today, the good Lord willing, if you pray and if God blesses about this thought. Answers to Job's, or to a great question. Answers to a great question. Job asked a great question here. I mean, it's a question man has wondered about, pondered about, searched for the answer about all through life, from the beginning to the end. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen. Listen now. Please listen to the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Man doesn't have the answer, but God does. God's got it right here in His blessed old book. Now, let me tell you a few things about Job, about the book of Job. How many of you all know out there by the raising of your hand that the book of Job is considered to be the oldest book of the Bible? And there are reasons for that. One of the reasons is there's no mention of the tabernacle, no mention of it at all. And yet Job, friend, listen, had insight, had some degree of insight. In fact, as we read on, even in the verses below, after he said, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? He goes on in verse 12 and says, so man lieth down and riseth not. What's the next word? Till the heavens be no more, they shall not wake nor be raised out of the sleep. In verse 13, he said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And he goes on and asks another profound question in verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? And listen to the answers. He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. Now let me say this about that. Job, listen, was looking at death and what is beyond the grave, friend, from limitation. limited knowledge, from limited revelation. If you go on over in the book of Job in chapter 19, you'll find Job saying something remarkable, talking about resurrection. He knew that he'd see his Redeemer that liveth for him. He'd see him for himself and not for another. But let me say something here. Let me say it really, really quick. Listen now. Please listen. The Word of God never teaches soul sleep. The Bible tells us when God created man, He created him a body and a soul and a spirit. And can I tell you, sir, ma'am, listen, because of sin, when death comes, the body dies. The body is laid in the grave. The body sleeps, if you will. But the soul and the spirit depart that body. They end up either in a place of well, called paradise now, or a place of torments. And we'll see that very quickly, very briefly, in just a short few minutes of time. But listen, friend, the soul of man lives on. I got a definition of death from Merle Unger long, long ago, and I shall never forget it. And if I do, I've still got his book. I can turn to read it. That's what I'm doing today. Listen. Accordingly, death is not the end of human existence, but a change of place or conditions in which, now watch this, conscious existence continues. Oh, look, Job didn't have the insight. Job didn't yet have the revelation that you and I have got today. Job was looking toward the cross. Job was looking towards the coming of the Messiah. Job was looking towards the Savior, that one that would come to redeem mankind. And you and I today are looking back at the cross. We're looking back at the fact that Jesus, bless God, entered into this world through a virgin's womb, lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us, was buried in a borrowed tomb, but came out from among the dead on the third and appointed morning so you and I could live forever. And by the way, when his body was laying in that tomb, bless God, listen, he wasn't. I mean to tell you, he gave up the ghost, the Bible tells us, when he was suspended between the heavens and the earth. The Bible said how that he cried with a loud voice, I gave up the ghost. Listen, friend, he began to move on without the limits of the body until after the resurrection, and even that body changed it. Well, I'll preach about that or teach about that sometime in a day soon to come. But can I tell you, listen, you go to the book of Ecclesiastes and all, you'll find nothing but a dirge there, actually. I mean to tell you, there's a man by the name of Solomon who was a wise man and become the madman when he had followed his wives, all those many wives. You kind of wonder how wise he was. If a man had 700 wives, 300 women, or 300 concubines, and he began to create or build for them places of worship, and they took him away from the one true God. So look, when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, let me tell you something that we need to understand when we consider it's written by a man that's away from God, a man that's trying to understand life and death and the issues of life. An existential book is what that is. The struggles with the reason for being. Where is joy? What's the purpose? And all of those things, why am I created? And listen, you'll hear a phrase, you'll read a phrase repeated through those 12 chapters of that phenomenal book of the preacher, under the sun, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Everything that's done under the sun, and listen to what I'm going to say. The writer there in chapter 2, verse 6, that says, listen, the fool and the wise man die alike. Well, that's true. Yes, we all are going to die. The book of Hebrews 9:26 says, and it's appointed unto man once to die. And all of us won't die. Some of us will be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, at the rapture when He comes to snatch His church away. But if we live a natural life, friend, we're going to die. If you live long enough, you're going to die, is my philosophy. Have a look. Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, is an old man looking back and giving giving us a journal of his life. He said, how dieth the rich man? As the fool. No, listen, or the wise man, so the fool. Listen, a wise man there is picture of a man that knows Christ, that knows God, that lives in faith, that dies in faith. And a fool is one that rejects the word of God, the teaching of God, the instruction of God, the leadership of the Spirit of God. And listen, they may die of some disease or some tragedy, but can I tell you, that's where it ends, bless God. That's where it ends. Listen, the wise man who knows God, who knows Christ as his Savior, listen, goes to be in the presence of God. And the other one that dies a fool, goes to an awful, terrible place now in the Old Testament. There is an unseen world, and that word for the unseen world is Hades, H-A-D-E-S, or Hades, or I mean Sheol, excuse me, in the Old Testament it's Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. When you come in the New Testament, the Greek, it's Hades, or Hades, H-A-D-E-S. And if you look in the book of Luke chapter 16, you'll find Jesus did not tell a parable there. This is a real story about a rich man that died, and a man by the name of Lazarus, which was a beggar. No parable ever uses a name. But here, Jesus is giving an account of actual happening, of actual events. When two men died, two men that represent all men, the saved man and the lost man, and listen, their state in life had nothing to do with their salvation and their place in the next life. But the Bible said that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The Bible said that the beggar died, that Lazarus died, and he was carried into the bosom of Abraham, bless God, in a place where he was welcome, in a place where he was known, in a place that he had been gathered to his people or his like kind. Now listen, in the Old Testament, we have limited revelation, limited understanding, but it's always been this way. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 25 and 8, 33 and 29, or 35 and 29, and in Genesis 49 and 29, Numbers 20 and 26, in the book of Numbers 27 and 13, you'll find a phrase when it's referring to people like Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Aaron and Moses dying. They were gathered unto their people. Well, look, over in chapter 16 of the book of Luke in the New Testament, Jesus opens up the curtain of the unseen world, the curtain of Sheol, the curtain of Hades, and lets man see. And listen to this, listen clearly. Before Christ, before the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, when men died, their soul went to either a place called, we refer to it as hell, or the other place would be Abraham's bosom. You read all of Luke chapter 16 there, especially beginning verse 19, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Look, in the bosom of Abraham were only those who were saved, those that died in faith, looking for the Messiah, trusting God, and those who went to the hell side or the torment side of Hades. Listen, friend, were in torments because they had rejected the Word of God, the promise of God, the offer of God. Oh, listen, friend, but there come a day, hallelujah, when this man by the name of Jesus, who when he was hanging on the cross, Luke 23 and 43, I believe it is, he looked at a repentant thief, and the thief had said, listen, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. Well, listen, that day both the thief and Jesus died. Both of them were buried. But there was some part of them that was not buried. It was their soul. And bless God, listen, they met together in that place called paradise. But listen, Jesus, because of his life, death, burial, and resurrection, he emptied one side of that unseen world. Do you know where I believe that was at? I believe, according to the Word of God, don't have time to explain it right now. It was in the heart of the earth. Just right below our feet. Listen, the Bible talks about the bottomless pit. The earth is always rotating. And there, listen, that's an awful place to be, is it not? That's an awful place to be where you can find no footing. But for those that die lost without Christ, but when you get to Abraham's bosom, there's a place of rest, a place of repose, a place of recognition, a place of rejoicing. And friend, how you want to be there? But I can tell you what Jesus did. Hallelujah. After he died, after he was buried, and on the day of his resurrection, according to what Paul taught the church of Ephesus in chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, how he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's why Paul said, and I've got to hurry. Got to hurry. My time's running out. That's why Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning of verse 1 and a few verse following, he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, that was taken up, caught up into paradise, and he saw those things that were not lawful to utter. You say, was that Paul? Yeah, I believe, bless God, in the book of Acts, chapter 14, I believe it is, and I'm not looking. When he had been stoned just outside of the town of Lystra, the Bible said that they left him for dead. You know why they left him for dead? Because he was dead. That's right. I mean to tell you, those stones, I believe, took his life. I believe that with all of my heart, friend. And you know what? I believe it's during that period of time that Paul, listen, his soul, his part of him that never dies, never ceases, bless God, was transported to heaven. I saw some things that he could not utter. God would not give him the liberty to give the revelation of the things that he saw. That was reserved for a man by the name of John. But listen, friend, I want you to know paradise had been moved from down in the heart of the earth to the place that Jesus is, out of the place that he dwells. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, and listen to how clear this is. Paul said this. He said, beginning in verse 6, and all of 2 Corinthians 5 is a must read for us if you want to know about where is he? A question answered by a question, answers to a great question answered in the Word of God. You got to read it all. He said, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now listen to the logic of this. He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. He goes on in verse 8 and said, we are confident, and I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, when a child of God dies, it's instantaneous that he goes to be with the Lord. When a lost man dies, it's instantaneous. Like Luke 16 says, he lifts up his eyes in torment. There is consciousness that continues. The only thing death does is provides another place and condition for continuation. Death doesn't stop us to exist. Listen, death brings sleep to a body, but never to a soul. Paul was saying in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, he said this, that I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He wrote that after 2 Corinthians chapter 12, experience of paradise. He said, I'm in between a rock and a hard place. I've got a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, Job asked a question, a phenomenal question, a great question, a question that can be answered in the Word of God. And it has been. It's all we got to do is look in the Word of God and see how God answers it. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there's no fear for the Christian. There's no fright for the Christian. I mean to tell you, listen, our eyes close in death. On this side of the grave, they open in a place called glory. We get, according to 2 Corinthians 5, some kind of body, some kind of intermediate body that will house the soul until the day of resurrection. Bless God when that body that we have had, not the same body, but a continuity, a continuation, but a new body, a better body, not one of flesh and blood, but of flesh and bone. It'll have a different source of life. It'll have a different power. It'll have different opportunities and privileges. Oh, Job, ask a question. Man dies, and where is he? He lies down in the grave. His body is hidden. We can't see him. He said, look, we can see a tree that's been cut down, that's got the roots still on the ground. You give it a long time, you give it enough time, little water, little sunshine, it'll begin to sprout and bring forth. But can I tell you something, friend? Bless God, a tree has a life here in this world. It'll come to its end. But you and I, sir, ma'am, that know Christ, and you do, don't you? Have Savior, have eternal life. If you don't know him, if you don't know for sure when you die, you're going to heaven. If you don't know for sure how that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, why don't you bow your head, humble your heart, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. God, I believe Jesus died for me when he died at Calvary. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll save you. Whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, listen, friend, an answer to a great question. I hope it's been a blessing to you. God bless. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are the same.